Okay, this is lesson 7. Jesus heals the crippled. There are two sets of stories that we studied in this lesson. We have the healings that took place on the Sabbath, and we hear of the man with the withered hand, the story of the bent woman, the man with dropsy, and the crippled man who could not get to the healing waters. So that's the healings on the Sabbath. Then we have the story of the paralytic brought by his friends before Jesus. I want to start with the healing of the paralytic. In the Gospels, this event happens earlier in Jesus's ministry. At this point, he's called his first disciples, but not all of them. And he's been out preaching and healing, and now has returned home to Capernaum. So people have heard that he's back in Capernaum, and he started showing up. They started showing up where he was staying. The people have filled his home, and the crowd is spilling out of the doorway. 4 men show up carrying their friend who is the paralytic. They can't reach Jesus through the door, so they carry their friend to the roof of the house, make a hole, and lower him down in front of Jesus. In praying with these scriptures, I put myself in the scene as one of the 4 men. What would be my thought process? Did I call up my friends and say, "Listen, I hear Jesus is back. He's the healer. This could be the chance for our friend to be healed. Let's go get him." So I rally the troops, so to speak, and we pick up our friend who is in need of help. We carry the guy to Jesus' house and can't get in. Why won't the crowd move out of the way? It reminded me, as I was thinking about this, being on 400 coming down every morning. And, you know, I got my blinker on, and I'm trying to, you know, I'm on an on-ramp, and it's running out, and I'm trying to get over, and people won't let me in. I don't understand the concept. They'll even speed up when they see my blinker, right? It's like, we're going 3 miles an hour. Is getting in front of me going to help you get to work that much sooner? It boggles my mind. But anyway, I digress. The crowd won't move out of the way. So meanwhile, back in Capernaum, the crowd isn't moving out of the way. And I'm trying to figure out how to get my friend in front of Jesus. I can imagine the conversation between these 4 men. Men are problem solvers, right? Right? They're not going to give up. They're going to figure out a way. Knowing somehow that they had to get their friend in front of Jesus. So they climb up the roof and make a hole in the roof. And I can only imagine Jesus sitting there teaching, and then like dust and dirt are falling on his head, you know, and everything stops, and he kind of looks up, and there's this gaping hole with his man. But can you imagine how much it took to carry a paralyzed man up to the roof? The strength, the amount of faith that we're going to go through this because we want our friend healed. Do you have friends like that? Are there people in your life that just don't give up on you? What a blessing it is to have someone who you can count on like that. But then Jesus looks at the paralytic and says, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, again, if I'm one of the guys up on the roof hanging my head through the hole in the ceiling to check out what's going on, I can imagine my confusion when I'm expecting him to get up and Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." I want my friend healed. I don't realize that when your sins are forgiven, there is a healing, a spiritual healing. But in this story, I'm not a scribe, I'm not a teacher, I'm just a guy who believes in the power of Jesus, and I have a friend in need of help. So as the scene unfolds, I hear Jesus calling the scribes to accountability. Jesus makes this a teaching moment for the scribes and a second healing moment for my friend. As we've said before, in the times of Jesus, it was thought that if you had some kind of crippling, it was because of either sin of your parents or your own sin, and this was God's punishment. If we think about it, sin is crippling. It's a known fact that there is a connection with the body, mind, and spirit. If I'm depressed mentally, it's almost impossible to move my body physically. If I harbor anger or unforgiveness towards someone, just thinking about them makes me physically tense up, grit my teeth, increase blood pressure, all that kind of stuff. If I experience some kind of anxiety or stress, I get headaches, I get sick to my stomach, and if really bad, I'd even throw up. When I sin, I experience mental anguish that can become crippling if I don't recognize what I've done and go to God with a contrite heart and ask for forgiveness. When I receive that grace, I'm healed. Now, scribes are trained in the oral interpretation of the written law, and they understand that only God can forgive sins. And Jesus brings this up by saying, which is easier, forgiveness of sins or rise up and walk? Then he continues and says, so you can see that I have the power to forgive sins on earth, I will heal this man. I think that's my takeaway on this miracle. God does both. When he forgives our sins, he heals us, mind, body, and soul. Moving on to the healings that took place on the Sabbath, we have a few different stories. The man with the withered hand, the bent woman, the man with dropsy, and the man who was ill for 38 years and couldn't get to the healing waters of the pool. They were all healed on the Sabbath. I actually want to focus on the man with the withered hand. When we study scripture and are given some verses to focus on, many times we miss meanings because we don't look at what came before and what came after. And this is a good example. So I want to back up and read Mark 2, 23 through 28. As he was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? He said to them, Have you never read what David did when he was in need and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and he ate the bread of offering that only the priests could lawfully eat, and he shared it with his companions? Then he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That is why the Son of Man is Lord, even on the Sabbath. Jesus had this encounter on the way to a synagogue. And chapter 3 starts with the continued discussion about doing anything on the Sabbath. Basically, the law to rest on the Sabbath had become interpreted so literally that it became like chains around the necks of the Jews. Jesus calls this into question, saying, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than do evil? To save a life rather than destroy it? His question was met with silence. He was trying to make the point that following the letter of the law leaves people to serve the law for law's sake. The law was created to guide, not constrain. In the spirit of the law, the Sabbath is for God and the building up of the kingdom of God. Healing the man with the withered hand gave this man the opportunity for more fully engage in the fullness of life, the life that God created him to live. The healing was for the glory of God to shine through. But these learned Pharisees said nothing. They would not even engage in the conversation. It says that Jesus was angered and grieved at their hardness of heart. Then he healed the man with the withered hand, and once that took place, the Pharisees began to plot his death. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And Jesus was to continue to do his Father's work of the building up of the kingdom of God on earth, even if it meant healing on the Sabbath. What this tells me is that we need to make sure we have a healthy understanding of the teachings of the church and the spirit in which the teachings are passed down. We need to know the reasons why we do what we do and believe what we believe. And judgment is not our job. We are not to pass judgment on others. We need to continue to look at the plank in our own eyes before seeing the splinter in the eyes of the others. And having said that, I go back to the scripture. The verse that stands out to me is the one that says, Jesus was angered and grieved at their hardness of heart. In that one statement, you can see Jesus fully human. He was angered. And Jesus fully divine, grieved. The Pharisees' silence angered and grieved the Lord. The Pharisees are God's children too. And their arrogance and pride kept them from seeing the truth that Jesus was presenting to them. The Pharisees were crippled by sin. So in looking at this lesson, I walk away with this. Jesus wants us to be whole in body, mind, and spirit. His desire to forgive and heal us is never ending. He knows the hard places of our hearts. He knows the thoughts in the deepest part of our minds. He knows the healing that we need and desires for us to be healed. He will continue to do his work in us as long as we have hearts of flesh. Sin will eat away at our whole person if we let it. But the forgiveness of sins that the Lord offers also translates into healing of our body, our mind, and our soul. And for that, we should give glory to God.